All right. You remember a couple weeks ago before we hit Palm Sunday and we hit Easter, we had been talking the previous time about why God wants us prosperous and successful. And I started the message and I didn't finish it. So we're going to finish it today. And then before that, we did a message along those lines about God. Remember in Job 36:11, if they obey and serve me, they will live, remember? They will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. And that's what God wants for us. How many know God's word is his will? And so when God says something, you know, you hear about these things all the time about the prosperity movement, about the prosperity gospel. Listen, there's nothing about God that isn't prosperous. Nothing about God that isn't prosperous. We need to understand it. What we need to do, though, is not take the prosperity, the word of prosper, and immediately add dollar signs on each side of it. That is where people get skewed, and all they do is become money-minded, and I want more money. No, it's not about that. It's about being like our Heavenly Father, who is what? Not only meets all our needs, but he does it with abundance. He told us that I want your cup to run over. What does that mean? You have more than enough. In other words, if my cup's running over and I have another cup next to me, what can I do? I can fill their cup. And now this cup's running over, this cup's running over, I can fill up another cup. And I can just keep on passing around. That's what God wants for us. Any good father who's the giver of every good gift wants what? Good things for our life. That doesn't mean it's all for, I don't have to work anymore. I don't have to believe God for anything. I just get everything I want in life. That's not what it's all about. There is a purpose behind it. There's a desire God has behind it. You got to remember, you and I are here on this earth. Larry spoke Wednesday night, and in James, he says that our life is like a vapor. It's just, it's here and gone, you know? When you look at eternity as a whole, this time we have here on earth is so nothing. It's just gone. It's a speck in the universe. There's nothing relative to it. Do you think we're going to spend our time in eternity lacking for anything or wanting something or seeking things? No. Because it's not really going to have any meaning. It's not really going to have any issue. God's going to bless us and we're going to have good things, but it's not going to mean anything to you. Money's going to mean nothing. There isn't money there. I mean, there's gold, but there's gold like there's grass. It's not going to mean anything to you. It looks pretty. It's gorgeous, but you're going to be, ooh, that's gold. You know? No, that's not going to be an issue. You can go anywhere you want, anyhow, never be hungry. Everything tastes good that you eat. Why would you lack or need anything? Think about that. You know, that's really what a type of, you can look at kind of what Adam and Eve's life was before the fall. There was no lack. There was no need. There was nothing. They had everything. They were satisfied. Amen. Life was good. And so what we want to do is get our perspective on God's idea of being prosperous and successful. And how do we do that? Through God's word. Through God's word, through the lens of God's word, we see that's what he wants for us. And that's what we should desire. So let's do some quick review, not spend a lot of time, but Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to look at it with fresh eyes. Don't just read it and say, I know that one. Now, I want to replace a word here that I think will help you a little bit, okay? If you'll notice where it says, this book of the law, okay, I want everybody to say this with me. This book of instructions, okay? Because that's how I say it, because we don't live in the law, okay? And so it's God's word, but the law is instructions, right? The word of God is instructions to us. And so this book of instructions shall not, now he tells us this is what it's not going to do. It's not going to depart from your mouth. It's not going to leave your mouth. What do you do with your mouth? You speak, right? You eat. Right? You consume. Your mouth is doing something. So you eat, you consume, you speak. Okay? He's saying, don't let my words of instruction leave your mouth, meaning speaking it, right? Then he goes in to say, but you shall not let it leave your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. That word meditate literally means to mutter. It means to speak to oneself. It has the idea of words. This is not meditation home, okay, like we might see in a worldly sense, where I meditate. I get in a yoga position in some weird, freaky position, and I bring my inner self in, and I home. I'm in tune with. No, the word meditate means to mutter. It has the impression of words. That's why he said, don't let it leave your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. What does that mean? The meditate on it consistently. That you're not just forgetting about it. That you're thinking about it and speaking it and talking. And when you're speaking it, what are you doing? Your mind is thinking about it, right? Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how many were thinking about your grocery list? Or thinking about lunch? Did you notice, what did you do when you were speaking the words? You were hearing and your lips were doing something, right? And it forces your brain to kind of focus on what you're doing. That's why I always recommend when you read the Bible, read it out loud. You don't mean get to yell and scream it, but read it out loud, and it helps you to focus. It helps you to stay on target. God knows this. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing. Well, how can I hear if I'm by myself? I can speak. And so there's something about when I speak, I'm hearing, my mind is focused. I'm speaking, my hearing, right? It's like this loop. And what it's doing, it's getting inside you. It's getting inside you. It's getting in your heart. You're planting seeds when you do this. He said, God knows this, and he said, don't let my words of instructions leave your mouth, but I want you to mutter them. I want you to ponder them with your words over and over throughout the day. Like in a period of time, if you did it sometime in the morning, it would be in your heart. You might have a little free time or break later. It comes back to you. You do it again. You know, you go out and you're doing some dishes or you're mowing the lawn. You do it again. It comes to you. You're just kind of muttering it over and over and over. You're pondering it. You're thinking about it, but there's words involved. And then you just continue this, and he says, why are we doing this? Why are we focusing on God's word? I want you to notice the emphasis about God's word, okay? He says, so that you may observe. Now, that word observe means to what? Observe. If I was observing something, what am I doing? I'm watching. I'm looking. I'm considering. I'm watching something, right? I'm observing the way the birds react to the bird feeder. What am I doing? I'm staring at them. I'm watching what they do and where they go. He's like, I want you so full of my word, so conscious of my word, that you're aware of it. That's what observation is. I'm aware of what's doing. Why? All for this. To do. Everybody say to do. So he said, you may observe to do. Do what? Do according to all that is written in it. Written in what? His word. It comes back to his word. It's all about his word. God is giving us the master key to prosperity and success. He's saying, you want a successful life, Joshua. And this is to all of us. You want to be a success. Who wants to be a failure in here? Raise your hand. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to go around just fail at this and fail. Who wants to be a success? How many know God created us? Did he not? Does he know how to be successful? God is the most successful being ever. And he created us in his image, and he wants us to be successful. And he said the key is getting my word in your mouth and in your thoughts, in your ears. And then you act on that word. You do that word. And what will it do for us? He said, for then. Everybody say, for then. Notice what is for then is connecting, right? If you do my word, if you act on my word, for then you. I want you to understand that God is saying you will make your way prosperous. It doesn't say, and God will tap you like a fairy. Ding! And now prosperity and success follow you wherever you go. No, he said, for then you will make your way. your way. That means as you're going about life, navigating and involving God in your life, everything that you do, every action that you take, every word, every dealing, what does he say? Will be prosperous and you will have good success. But it comes back to us, and it all has to do with his word. It all has to do with his word. It all has to do with his word. God is saying in his word, I want you prosperous. I want you to succeed, but you have to do it my way. You have to do it this way. 3 John verse 2 is one of my favorite verses. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Notice there's a connection at the end. That I want you to prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Your soul prospering in what? Well, if you continue to read, he's talking about the truth of God's word. That's exactly what 3 John. 3 John is a very short chapter. I encourage you. Read it. You can read it in 3 minutes, maybe less. Short chapter, but you'll notice what he's talking about is the truth. Well, what is the truth? Remember Jesus said, God's word is truth. So he's saying your soul prospers in the word. When you're thinking about the word, talking the word, hearing the word, it's going to impact what you do, and it's going to cause you to succeed. It's that simple. You know, sometimes we're working so hard to make things happen, and we just don't look at the simplicity of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, every scripture, I want everybody to say this, every. Now, what do you think the Greek word meaning of every is? Every. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration. In other words, what was recorded in scripture, guys, is the very heart, the very mind, and the very will of God revealed to you and I. So if God's word told us in Joshua 1:8, what to do, and that would make our way prosperous and successful, what is God's will? What is his desire? He wants that for us. And you know what? I want everybody to hear me. If you don't desire to prosper and succeed according to God's word, you are being disobedient and not honoring God. It's that simple. Some people say, well, that's not for me. I want the simple life. I don't want to be bothered by that. I'll just take care of my, you know, me and mine, and that's the end of it. Well, then you are not obeying God's word. God has a purpose and a plan for this, and his desire is for us, what? To prosper and succeed in life in obedience to him. That's how it works. It's not us seeking prosperity and success. It's us seeking God and being a doer of his word, which leads to prosperity. It's like that's there's what we do, and there's a benefit of it. God wants us blessed and prosperous, but not at the expense of knowing him. The word of God has all kinds of warnings against that. That if you allow covetousness, that if you seek after things, if you become greedy and just want to, I'm going to build bigger barns, man. I'm just going to add more. I just want more. What's going to happen in your life? It's not going to end well. You're going to be the opposite of successful. You may have a lot of money, but how many of you know that if you have a lot of money, but you don't have your health, what do you got? Or if you have a lot of money, but you don't have a family to share it with because no one wants to be around you because you're an ugly old miser. What do you got? I mean, don't we see that story from Charles Dickens, the Scrooge? What happened at the end? He not only had the good stuff, but now he had life, right? He was sharing and being a blessing and had friends and family. And in other words, God wants us to be successful in every arena of our life. He wants you blessed on the job. He wants you blessed when you go to the store. He wants you blessed when you make dinner. He wants you blessed in every little aspect of life. All things, praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Why does God want us to prosper? Well, the primary and main reason is so that we can build the kingdom of God. I want to get across to you, why is the primary reason God wants you blessed? The reason he wants you blessed is so that you can be an outflow of blessing. That is the primary reason. Remember in Genesis, if you read in Genesis 12, you'll find a story about God calling Abraham. Remember? And God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your country. What God was saying is, I want you to leave everything in life behind and come follow and obey me. And he said, if you'll do that, I'm just paraphrasing, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, I just shortened it. It just says, I will bless you, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why does God want you blessed? So that it leaks out of you. So that you are able to be a blessing. So that we can get the work of God being done. I mentioned a couple weeks back that there are families right now praying for someone like you to be an answer to their prayers. You know, we get calls constantly in the church, constantly. People asking for financial help all the time, all the time. There never goes hardly a week goes by where we didn't get at least one or two, maybe three, sometimes more than that. I was calling around wondering if you could do this, if you could help with this, if you could do this. The fact is that God wants us so blessed that we're able to be a blessing, that we can help others, that we can help others, that we can build the kingdom of God. The things that we want to do for God, guys, cost money. You know, one of the things I hate to hear is people looking for, like a preacher looking for a preacher deal. And I'll hear that sometimes. Oh, dear, sir, I'll make you a really, you know, it's for a church. I'll make you a really, really good deal. No, God's not broke and he's not poor. And I say, no, I don't want any kind of special deal. Now, if you want to do something for us because God told you to, that's fine. But I want to have the same service. I want to have excellence. I don't want the cut. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they'll cut this and this and give you a really good deal and you're not getting the best they have because you're not paying the best. So sometimes it's worth paying the best. How many know you get what you pay for? Right? And so a lot of times I'll stop them. No. If God tells you to do something, that's fine. Right? That's fine. But don't do it because you think I'm looking for it. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not. Half the time, I don't even mention when I'm looking or observing or considering something. I don't even tell them I'm a church. Because that kind of changes people's attitude. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Depends on their background and what they experience. But God wants you blessed. Say it with me. God wants me blessed so that I can be a blessing. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to have your needs met at such a level that there's more than enough that when something else comes your way, you say, Lord, well, how much do you want me to do? Not should I do anything. How much do you want me to do? You want me to do it all? Do you want me to do part of it? You're looking for opportunities. Why? Because you're that blessed. A lot of us don't even have a comprehension of that. I remember hearing about a particular preacher who believes these things, and he would literally carry a decent amount of cash on him, and he'd go to something like Burger King, and he'd be just ordering, you know, whatever, a Whopper, and person would come up, and he just felt like, you know, they were real, you know, I just want to be a blessing. And so he'd open his wallet up and hand them a 50 and slip it over. No reason. Just want to be a blessing. I'm able to do it. Now, how many know that'd be sweet? Have hundreds in your wallet just sitting there just for that purpose. See, right now I can see something. Is that really what you should do? Or I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine thinking that way. That's why we need to change our thinking so that we do think that way. See, God can do. Listen, write down Ephesians 3:20. That ought to be our scripture for the week. Ephesians 3:20. God can do what? Exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. Problem is, we're not asking big, we're not thinking big, and we're not imagining big. And even if we are, then there's room to grow. How many know there's always room to grow? There's always more you could give. Wouldn't it be great if you're the person writing the $10,000 checks, the $50,000 checks? I mean, say, how? Man, God can do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Does that mean you're going to go from I make $70,000 a year all of a sudden to $400,000? Probably not. But you're not going to get any higher than what you are if you're not actually believing God for more either. there's no room for God to work. And if you keep on doing what you've always done, like, well, I sow this and I do it faithfully every single time. Well, then you're getting blessed, but that's as far as it's ever going to go until you make the decision, Father, I'm seeking more and I'm looking for opportunities to sow for that reason, so that you can bring an increase and God can make you go from 70,000 to 95,000. And then from 95,000 to 120,000. And as you start, you know what the crazy thing is? As you start to increase, as you start to think bigger, it gets in every area of your life and it becomes easier. It becomes easier. See, we don't have to just have just what we need. We can have, I need this, but I got this to be able to do what I want to do with, what God tells me to do. See, you say, well, I only need this much to live off. Then why don't you believe for an extra 100,000 every year just so you can be able to give it away? And you still have what you need. That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? But God, see, God wants to do some things. We're in the last of the last days, and God wants to do some big things. He will do some big things if he just has someone that says, Lord, send me. I'll do it. And some say yes, and some say, oh, I don't want to bother with it. I don't really want to do that. I'm good with what I got. That just seems like so much responsibility to hear God and all and give it away. Seriously. You know, the Bible tells us this. Galatians 6:10, it says that we are not supposed to just have our needs met, but be a blessing. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Amplified Bible on this verse says, be mindful to be a blessing. I like that. Be mindful to be a blessing. Have that attitude. Have that in your thought. So this morning, we're going to give you three keys to prosperity and success that I want to bury in you. Okay, so real quickly, we did the first one, and that was number one is put God first place in your life. Put God first place in your life. We hear that all the time. But that is the basic principle of all this. Is Joshua 1:8 saying the same thing? Take my words, don't let it leave you, right? And then you do my word, and that will lead to prosperity and success. In other words, it all comes back to God and his word. Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. Is seeking something active, right? That's a verb. You're doing something. You're not just, well, I'm just going to stay here in one spot and, you know, hope it all comes to me in life. He says, seek at. That means you're actively pursuing something. What are you to pursue? He said to pursue the kingdom of God. How do I know anything about his kingdom? The word of God, right? The word of God and the spirit of God will lead us in that. And his righteousness, how will we live in our life? His way of doing and being right. This is what I'm seeking. I'm seeking to learn more about God, and I'm seeking to do what he says to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Obey my words. How can I obey his words if I'm not seeking to do it? How would you remember? You would remember by what? Seeking to remember. You took that, you printed it out, you put it on the fridge. Every time you walk by, yep, we're going to have that. We're going to do this. And then it's going to be what? In the forefront, you're observing to do. You're watchful. That's how you seek the kingdom of God. It has to be active. Y'all with me? Anybody bored? Are you learning something? Everybody say, I'm learning something. That helps me out, all right? I'm learning something, all right? I'm excited, praise God. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited because I'm being reminded to do, to some degree, what I already know to do. But I'm being kicked in the butt, so to speak, to say, do it. Quit talking about it. Quit just thinking about it. Do it. Amen. So God promises, listen, he said, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of being and doing right. Then, and then, everybody saying then. Doesn't that just sound like Joshua? For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will be successful, right? It says, and then. The then is what? The then is implying you did it. And now all these things taken together will be given you besides. If you read the previous verses, what was he talking about? Things you desire, things you need in life, right? The things you, he's saying all these things will be added to you, but you got to do your part. You know, a lot of times we focus on God's part. We focus on the prosperity, the success, having our needs met. That's not what we're supposed to focus on. We're supposed to focus on the first part of the verse. In other words, the promise has two parts, God's part and your part. You focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and living and doing what and acting on what he said, loving God's word and getting into it and seeking it to do it, right? You're reading the word of God like you're hunting for something to do. I mean, man, I want to do it. Lord, I want to honor you. I want to please you. Don't worry about the rest. You do that, and God is saying you are setting yourself up for me to be able to navigate in your life, and man, success and prosperity are just going to come to you. It's just going to happen. Why? Because you're doing what I told you to do. We have God's word on it. We have God's word on it. Now, if what God is saying is, if that will put him first place in our life, then he will begin to increase or put increase into our life. So we do our part, it allows God to do his part. Did you hear me? We do our part, it allows God to do it. You say, well, can't God just do what he wants to do and just dump it? No. See, God always abides by his own words. He's not going to violate his word. So if you don't do your part, God's just going to stand there saying, well, my word still works. It still works, but you're not doing your part. You're not doing it. How many of you know the lawn won't mow itself? Right? I mean, God can provide the mower, the fuel, right? He can provide you legs, arms. I mean, I even got one that's all driven. You know, all I got to do is this and just walk with it. I don't really have much excuse at all. I can literally hold it like that and it will go. All I got to do is steer it in what direction. But how many know it won't mow itself? And God gave you his word. He gave you his promises. What he's saying is, if you'll just start doing it, walking in it, it'll work on its own. I don't have to worry about how the thing works. You know what? I don't have to understand the mechanics of the mower. All I have to do is what? Turn it on, hit the button, and walk. And it will do its part. God's word is much the same way in that regard. So God promises that if we'll do his part, then prosperity, success will be the result, and we will be able to be a blessing to others. You should desire his blessing so that you can be a blessing to others. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 talks, well, 26, the whole chapter talks about King Uzziah. But the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I want you to notice this. Look at the scripture. Very simple verse. As long as he sought the Lord, what does Matthew 6, 33 tell us? Everybody? Seek first. Seek the Lord. Seek his will. Seek his word, right? If you love me, you do my word. So we actively seek his word. We're seeking him. What does it say? And God made him prosper. So we could say, as long as Ken sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as Stoney sought the Lord, God made him prosper. But what's Stoney's part? What's my part? To seek the Lord. Does that mean I just sit around and say, well, I tithed, and that's it? No, that means I'm actively seeking. I'm hearing God. I'm looking at his word. I'm spending time desiring to please him. I want to do what his word says. I'm actively doing something, right? In that, God has the ability now to honor his word and make us prosper. And if we don't like where we're at right now, guess what? Does that mean we got room to grow? Yeah, long as you're here in this flesh, on the earth before Jesus comes, we have room to grow. Amen? In fact, I think when we get to heaven, I think you'll have room to grow. You just grow fast there. You won't have the devil, you won't have time, and you won't have your flesh the way it is now. Amen? But the fact is that we want to please God. So as long as King Uzziah kept placing God first in his life, God made him to prosper. But if you continue, I encourage you, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles, it's only a few verses. That chapter tells his whole story beginning to end. And the end does not end well. God blessed him, blessed him, blessed. The kingdom was strong. I mean, God blessed his socks off, gave him witty ideas, awesome things. But you know what happened? He started moving away from God being his source, and he started getting prideful. Look at all I've accomplished. Everybody's walking up, patting him on the back. Oh, we praise you, King. Look at all you've done. And all these other kingdoms that are bowing down, so to speak. And he started getting puffy in his thinking. He started thinking, look at all I've done. Look at all I've done. Well, guess what? It did not end well for him. Why? Because he stopped seeking the Lord. And when he stopped seeking the Lord, what happened? Fountain dried up. Fountain dried. In other words, things began to shut up. Why? Because God honors his word. God honors his word. I'll bet you it didn't happen like this, but it kind of slowly happened. And God finally, I can't prosper you anymore because you're not doing what I told you to do. You're not seeking me anymore. You think you did it. Amen? So what we want to do is be aware of that in our life. We need to be aware. Don't let that be your story. God, I've seen it time and time again, guys. I've seen people get a hold of what we're talking about and really press in. And man, God bless them. I mean, they went from here to here. I mean, they just, and they were able to bless and give and do all kinds of things they never could do. But then what happened is they started getting distracted, so to speak, and started looking at themselves and all they had and all their goods and stopped trusting God. That's a danger in this. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's your source of blessing. We always need to do that, and it doesn't end well for them. In Deuteronomy, the Lord was trying to address this with the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy 8, you can read where he told them that you can get so much blessing, my blessing in your life, that you begin to look at yourselves and say, look what my power, my ability has done. Look at all I have. Instead of seeking the Lord, and God warns us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. That why? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. What's that covenant? You're blessed to be a blessing. That's it. That you're so prosperous and blessed that you can build the kingdom, that you can be used by God to help fulfill what God wants to do in the earth. But here's the deal. I want you to notice, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Does God provide? Hear me, guys. Does God want to give us the power to get wealth? Is that his word? Isn't that what he said? Didn't we read 2 Timothy? Remember, all scripture, every scripture is God breathed, given by his inspiration. Is this? So God's saying, man, I want to literally provide my blessing, the power to get wealth in your life. That's what I want for you. But what we got to do, though, listen, is keep him first place. And when we start seeing some of that blessing, we still keep our eyes on him. Amen. The word of God tells us that riches can be like a fleeting thing that just kind of flies away real quick. What I'm saying is, how many know things can change instantly? What if, I mean, you say, well, I have all this wealth, I got retirement, I'm good. I got my house. I got this all paid for. It's all there. I mean, I got hundreds of thousands in savings. I'm good no matter what happens, even if I stop today. Well, what if the entire banking system went down tomorrow? Entire banking system went down. Does any of that money mean anything? You can't shop. You can't go to the bank and get any money out. Everything shut down. The government, everything shut down. So what are you going to do then? But see, listen, if we're seeking the Lord, we can confidently say, that's okay. Lord is my shepherd. I won't want. It doesn't have anything. The bank doesn't meet my needs. My retirement account doesn't meet my needs. That doesn't meet my needs. You could take everything away from me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Trust me, I will have a full belly before the evening's over. I will have shelter. I will have what I need. How many would agree with me if we're seeking the Lord? Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't like you talking about this kind of stuff. That's a reality is what I'm saying. We don't need to be in fear. Why? Because God's our source. We're going to be okay. And if we're willing to be used by God because we're seeking him, guys, that's not even going to be a factor. It's not even going to be an issue. See, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So the first thing, remember, the first key is what? Put God first. And you got to be doing that. That is not, well, I went to church, so I did it for this week. No. This means you take what you heard, right? You read your own Bible. You're spending time praying. You're actively seeking something in God's word to do. That is seeking God first. You give your day to the Lord. You honor God with what God said in his word. That's seeking God first. And if you do that, he promises that all the things you desire, need, they'll just come to you. I'll make sure of it. You'll be like a spiritual wealth magnet. Amen? And that's what God wants. Not so we can just heap it up, though. We can meet our needs. We'll be blessed, and we'll have more than enough, and we can bless our families, but we also can be used by God to be a blessing to others. Wouldn't it be great for all of us just to have hundreds, thousands, big bills just sitting there steady, and this all it's for is it's my blessing money. I just go around and I said, Lord, who do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I want to be used by you. You speak to me. Do you think that he could use someone like that? Okay, boy, everybody like, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know. Do you really think that if you had $10,000 freed up, that it's instantly accessible? Now, you don't want to do it unless you're hearing God or you just want to be a blessing to someone. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, what if every single one of us had access to $10,000 in cash that we could instantly use that has no other purpose other than it's my blessing money? And I just say, Lord, you speak to me and I'll go. Do you think God could use some people like that to meet needs, to do something super? The problem is he doesn't have that many. So first point, right? First key is put God first. Second key, we must be obedient to God. We must be obedient to God. Each and every one of us in our own individual life must be obedient. We must be obedient to his written word and what he tells us by his spirit. In other words, God's word is the same for all of us, right? We're to do the word. We can do the word. And God will never tell us to do something that doesn't line up with his word. He never will. When somebody gives you some, man, I had a word from the Lord, and they give you something, and you're like, and it doesn't line up with this, say, well, thank you, I appreciate it, and move on, and don't give it any attention, because God will never deviate from his word. You know, he's not a schizophrenic. Do you know that, the Holy Ghost? He's the Holy Ghost. Who helped write this? Who did it? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something contrary to the word. In fact, you could ask the Lord, Lord, I'm not sure about that. Can you give me a few scriptures? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And if you do that to God the Father, I'm telling you, he's not going to get upset with you. He's going to say, yeah, okay. And he's going to show you why, because he loves it when you go back to his word. And now you've established and set in your heart. Yep. How many agree Joshua 1:8 is one witness, right? 3 John verse 2, another witness. Matthew 6:33, another witness. Job 36:11. Let's look at that one. That's another witness. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, talking about the Lord, if I obey and serve him, I shall spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasures. That means I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to be satisfied. Is that God's promise to us? But what's our part of it? Everybody tell me, what's our part? To obey and serve. Because what did he say? If they obey and serve. If they obey and serve. You're not going to experience this if you're not obedient. Sometimes we can be disobedient in one small little area of our life, but we're kidding. I mean, let me give you an example. Tithing is a good example. Sometimes people tithe the way they think they ought to tithe. In other words, they say, well, you know, I sow a little bit here and there, or I do this. And you know what? I believe on a giving aspect, God will do what he can with that. But don't call it tithing. Why? Well, what does the word tithe mean? A tenth. It literally means tithing is not a, it is a process, but the word tithe literally means tenth. So if you're not doing the tenth, then you are not tithing. In other words, Everybody follow me on that? But let's say someone says, well, I give here and there and I do that, you know. Well, you know what you're doing is you're going to have some level of blessing. You're going to have, how many know he said give and it'd be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together. But you're not going to have the fullness of everything God can do in your life. And that disobedience there, I want everybody to listen, that disobedience is preventing the fullness of what God can do in your life. So let's say you're a tither, you're a giver, you honor God in everything that you do, but you got this one little problem. There's this one person at work that you just can't stand. You'd avoid them. And you're holding against them. Well, what are you doing? You're walking around with some unforgiveness, aren't you? You're not walking in love. Are you being disobedient? Is everybody hearing me? As I'm preaching good. You're sitting there expecting God to do all this here, but you're over here saying, well, I'm just Mr. Goody Two Shoes over here, but I'm ignoring every time you bring this person up in my heart. Then guess what? You're blocked. It's like if you just picture this, guys, there's this big pipe from heaven, big pipe, okay? You want the blessing of God to flow freely through that. But if you start mucking it up, if you start having like plaque in someone's arteries, okay? If you start having garbage in there, that's the sin. That's the disobedience. That's death. What is it doing? It's limiting the flow. It's limiting the flow. And what we want to do is clear that out. How do we clear that out? Well, James chapter 4 tells us. Listen, he says, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Listen, submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll free from you. Listen, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Who is he talking to? He's talking to believers. He's saying, recognize you've been hanging around the world. You've been walking out of love. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. Fix things in your life. You've been committing adultery against God, with the world. Get your heart right. Maybe you shouldn't watch. You ever been convicted about watching something or reading something? Boy, no one. Yeah, you have. Yeah. If it was something in your heart, man, I really shouldn't be watching that. I really shouldn't be reading that. I really shouldn't be looking. I really shouldn't be thinking about that. I really shouldn't be talking about that. Or boy, it's quiet. But listen, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Make sure that you want to be seeking God, that you're obedient to God, that you're looking at your heart and your actions. If they obey and serve him, that's talking about in everything in your life. He says, spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. If they obey and serve him. You remember when Mary, Jesus, and some of his disciples, they went to the wedding, the Cana of Galilee? Remember, it's where he turned the water into wine. That was one of the first miracles. Well, they're there, and I want you to remember this, and this is something I want to sear in your heart and mind. When they told Mary, and Jesus is right there, and they told Mary about the fact that they were running out of wine, what did she do? She said, listen, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Why is that written in the Bible? Did they do what he said? Was it successful? Was a miracle? Did a miracle happen? The water was turned to wine. Not only that, it was better wine than what they had to start with. And they said, man, everybody always saves the bad stuff for last. Why? Because everybody, you know, has already had plenty to drink and you wouldn't even notice or taste it. And they're like, dear Lord, man, you set the best for last. And the only people that knew that were the servants who obeyed Jesus. No one else in the crowd knew it. But the key is this, whatever he says to you, do it. Say it with me. Whatever Jesus says, I do it. Now, what will that lead to? Success, prosperity. In other words, whatever that is, it's going to lead to that every time. That's the point. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Well, Jesus is speaking to you in his word. He is the living word. Whatever he says to you, do it. Just do it. Guys, it's so simple sometimes that we could be walking at such a greater level, but it's just that simple. Just do it. Amen. So I want to clarify, the second key is obedience to God. We must obey God, okay? We must obey God. And the third key is develop a lifestyle of faithfulness. Develop a lifestyle of faithfulness. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful man, a faithful person will abound with blessings. Abound with blessings. Who will experience God's promise of abundant blessings? The faithful person. Now the question is this. Sometimes we get in here and we decide what's faithfulness. We decide, well, I'm faithful. How many of you consider yourself, don't raise your hand, by the way. How many of you consider yourself an honest person? An honest person. Now, I'll bet you everyone would probably raise their hand. But could we be lying? Have you ever said, oh, that looks so nice. That looks so good. Thank you so much for that wonderful gift. Have you ever done? Have you ever said, oh, I was just a white lie, Pastor. It was bathed in the word. I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I told them what they wanted to hear. Well, isn't that a lie? See, sometimes what we'll do is we'll take words, and what we do is we kind of put them in a nice wrapping. You know what that's called? An excuse. When someone I had to do this and this and this. No, you made the choice to do this, this, and this. That's why you were late, for example. You didn't have to be. You could have made a great effort at it and not been. Does that make sense? We wrap it up to make it look pretty, and we call it an excuse and say it's okay. And somebody say, boy, this guy's preaching good, because otherwise you're going to be mad at me. But I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes this is what happens, and what we're doing is these simple things are keeping us from the blessing of God. There's just simple things like that. And he said, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Well, that word abound is interesting. It implies more than enough. Abound, meaning more than enough. So he's saying, listen, that if you have more than enough, what does that mean? That you can bless others. That it can flow out of you, right? You're abounding in the blessings of God. But, you know, what we need to understand is, faithfulness is important to God, and if faithfulness is important to God, shouldn't it be important to you and me? Faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. That's a word that we easily can look at and say, well, I'm a faithful person. Yeah, I think so. You know, but you need to examine yourself from outside yourself, because sometimes we can miss things. We're looking through rose-colored glasses at our own lives, and we're not really being honest with ourselves. If you were to ask someone else, could you honestly tell me, would you consider me a faithful person? How many would volunteer to do that with someone else? You might not like what you hear if they're really honest and say, well, I think you're a good person, and I think you have good intentions, but maybe, and they fill in the blank, and you're like, ouch, ouch. But the reality is, sometimes we need to look at ourselves outside ourselves. You hear the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees? That's exactly, we're looking at ourselves thinking, I'm pretty good. I'm a nice person. I do my best to be kind, and I don't slam the door on people's faces when they're behind me. And we're not really looking at the big picture. Faithful. Everybody say it again, faithful. Well, let's consider what faithfulness in the life of the believer might look at real quick. What would faithfulness look like? Well, faithfulness with God, to be a faithful believer, would be sticking with God's word no matter what the circumstances. How many would agree there? How many would agree? Boy, no one's like, I don't know, Pastor, I don't want to do that. Because you're going to call me on the carpet over something. Faithful to God no matter what. So let me ask you a question. If God told you to do thus and so, did you do it? You know, no exception. I didn't make any excuse. I did it anyway. I said I'd be there, and if I have to come crawling, I'll be there because I gave him a word. For example, you know, if you gave a commitment to serve in the church and you said, I'm going to do thus and so, and you're supposed to be here at a certain time and you're supposed to do a certain thing, and you don't do that, are you faithful? Guys, listen. Everybody say no condemnation. I want everybody to mean that. No condemnation, because I'm not picking on any particular person or thing. I'm trying to point out by the Holy Ghost, God is saying, examine, look at your life. For example, sometimes we can make excuses because we're tired, we're hot, we're busy, we're this, we're that. I really don't want to. And we're not faithful. In other words, if we were faithful all the time, I think sometimes if we made it a big issue that I can never, ever go back, if God told me to do this and I know it, then I have to do it. Why? Why is it? Why do I have to know what I know to do? I want you guys to think about this with me. Give me a moment here. Why do I have to do what I know to do from God's word or by the Spirit of God? Because otherwise it is sin. And what's sin to me might not be sin to you. I'm not talking about like committing adultery. I'm talking about when I know to do good and I don't do it, it is sin to me. It is sin. I am now creating a chasm between me and God. I've stained the situation. Y'all follow what I'm saying? What we want to do, being faithful means I examine everything in my life. I consider everything. I consider my words. I consider my actions. I consider my commitments. I consider everything. We're supposed to do everything we do as unto the Lord, right? To honor the Lord. We do everything we do unto the Lord. But do we always do that? Or do you do it? Well, that's good enough. I can wait. You know, I don't. Well, is that doing it as unto the Lord? So does that mean we're faithful? Faithful means what? I will stop and I will do it as unto the Lord. Boy, it's getting heavy. I can just see the tension. I can just feel it, you know. Why? Because you're like, oh my gosh, you know. There's so what we want to do, guys, is open our heart to the Lord and let him work. Because why? Listen to me. God wants to bless you. He wants the blessing. Even though you've been blessed, he wants to increase it. He wants to bring us to another level. But in order to go to another level, there's got to be growth in our life. And how many ever heard of the term growing pains? In other words, it's uncomfortable. But if we'll take it and say, Lord, it hurts a little bit, but you said in your word that you love, I mean, your love chastises. In other words, you correct. And so I appreciate that. And I'm going to grow and I'm going to develop. Amen? 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 That means we got to work on our heart. We got to work on our thoughts. So I got more I want to say, but let me give you one last scripture. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we are not of those who draw back. We're talking about faithfulness, being faithful, developing a lifestyle of faithfulness. We are not of those who draw back. This is what I want you to get. We make a firm decision. I will not draw back when things get hard. This is what a lot of people do. I'm tired. I was up all night. I wasn't feeling well. They'll understand. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Does Jesus really understand? Did Jesus do that? Well, Father, I know I need to go on the cross, but man, I was up all night long, and I got a lot of lashes on me right now. Could we like maybe postpone this? Did he do that? Did he ever stop one bit? Did he want to do it? He did it out of obedience, but he didn't want to do it. His flesh did not want to do that. I mean, he was sweating drops of blood, but he did it anyway. Why? Why did he do it? He was faithful. He was faithful. Aren't you glad for his faithfulness that he didn't just quit and make excuses up? I mean, picture God right at the beginning. Adam screws it up. Oh, my Lord. What do you guys think, Holy Ghost, Jesus? You think maybe we just ought to do a do-over? Maybe we just had a... Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that God's faithful? Amen? This is the Message translation of the same verse. Listen to this. It says, we're not quitters who lose out. We're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting God all the way. Say, I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. Say it again. I'm not a quitter. Say it again. I'm not a quitter. I'm faithful. I'm obedient. Okay, not everybody saying it with me. Say, I'm faithful. I'm obedient. I put God first. I make the decision today to put God first. Now, listen, here's what I want you to do. Stand up with me. I want us to pray and ask the Lord to reveal areas in our life that maybe we need to make some adjustments. How many would agree that we probably have some areas that he could point out to us? He may have already pointed some things out to you during the message. You know, I want to see the blessing of God flow in this church. Amen? What I'm trying to say is we got to think. Remember, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine. I'm not looking to get so blessed that I can buy whatever I want and do whatever I want. That is secondary. My main thing is I want to be able to be used by the Lord at a greater level. That's what I want. I want to be able to be used at a greater level. And that starts with me desiring that. And we saw from God's word, I think I laid it out pretty good. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to succeed. He wants his blessing. Why? So that we can be a blessing. Amen.